Thank you, David. Let's turn to Psalm 40. Thoughts about the incarnation based on Psalm 40. This morning I want to talk about the incarnation of the Son of God. The incarnation is one of the most amazing things that ever happened. Think about it. The one who fills all things emptied himself. The limitless one limited himself. The Creator took on the body of a creature. It's pretty amazing. Why did the incarnation take place? Because the Creator is full of love and pity for creatures, especially those made in His image, and terribly damaged by the fall. Why did the incarnation happen? To save us, because human beings could not save themselves. By becoming a man, to identify with mankind in order to save mankind, the Son of God is able to rescue us from the real and deadly forces of Satan and the demons, sin, the sin nature, which weakens us from within, death and hell. So this morning I want to talk more about the incarnation, but I want to use Psalm 40. And I want to consider the incarnation Psalm 40 in three ways. First, I want to go through the whole Psalm, applying it to King David, who wrote this poem about himself. Second, I want to consider Psalm 40 by applying it to the Son of David, the Messiah, to whom it points. And third, by applying Psalm 40 to the followers of the Son of David, to those of us today who follow Messiah. This poem was written by one of the greatest human beings who ever lived. David, divinely inspired prophet, king of Israel, great warrior, poet, musician, builder, a man after God's own heart, a man with whom God made a covenant to establish his family as the ruling dynasty of the chosen nation, the family through whom the Messiah, the ultimate prophet, priest, king, and savior would come. In all of human history, there have not been too many men like David. Even though he was a great man, he experienced many difficulties in his life, some that were so serious that they could have resulted in his death. Psalm 40 describes one of these life-threatening challenges. David writes, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him." David was in a life-threatening situation, which he compared to a man in danger of dying in a slimy pit or a wet dungeon or a man stuck in a muddy swamp and in danger of being an easy target there, or maybe pulled under the mud and drowning. He was in a life-threatening situation. He prayed and was confident that the Lord would save him. "He set my feet on a rock, a solid, safe, secure place." He was confident the Lord would give him a happy song to sing, a song of celebration about being rescued. And his rescue would impact many and encourage them to trust the God of Israel even more. Next, David tells us how to live a happy and successful life in a dangerous, fallen world. Ashrei, how very happy is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. The secret to happiness and successful living comes from knowing the one true and living God and trusting Him and not trusting human beings who are far from Him or trusting any other religious or ideological system. How very happy is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud and arrogant, to those who turn aside to false gods. David continues by praising God for the many good things God did for him and that God does for his people. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. None compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. The wonders of creation, which benefit us in so many ways, are beyond counting. The wonders of divine providence, God's daily providential care for us, are expressed in innumerable ways. The wonders of divine help and intervention, like divine revelation and the Exodus from Egypt, and acts of individual help and protection and salvation. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done. The God of Israel is the only true God, and he alone is able to do these wondrous things. And David understood that. How could God not be inclined to save a man who praises him like David is doing here? David affirms that not superficial religion, but a real and close personal relationship to this God of wonders is essential to a happy and victorious life. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. This is really interesting. David understood that it's not that God didn't want sacrifices and offerings from his people. The Lord did. But the Lord wanted more than mere religious ceremonies, even if they were God-ordained ceremonies. The Lord wanted people who really knew him and really knew his word, who knew how to listen to him, and were committed to do what they heard him saying. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. David knew that he was one of these men who really knew the Lord and his word, who knew how to listen to God, and were committed to do what they heard him saying. David was one of those. Then I said, here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll of the book. I desire to do your will, my God. Your Torah, your divinely inspired teaching, your law, is within my heart. David is speaking about himself. David was listening to God and was eager to obey what he heard God saying. Here I am. I have come. Right after he talks about his ears being opened by God. David mentions that he was written about in the scroll of the book. In the scroll of the book, which refers to the Torah, Moses informs us that the majority of human beings will continue in rebellion against God, even when engaging in religious ceremonies and observances. But at the same time, in every generation, God will rescue a faithful remnant, men who, like David, delight to do what God wants and practice the teachings of the Word of God. Not in a superficial way, but deep down at the core of their being, in their heart. Then I said, "Here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll of the book. I desire to do your will, my God. Your Torah is within my heart." David, the king of the chosen people, a very special office which is specifically mentioned in the Torah, was one of the faithful remnant who knew God, who delighted in the will of God, and were committed to the Word of God. David is reminding God that he was a man like this. How could God not be inclined to rescue David from his very serious troubles? David had not been ashamed to tell the rest of the nation of Israel about God. "I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your Yeshua, your salvation, your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your truthfulness from the great assembly." David honored God by boldly and publicly declaring that he believed in God, and that the God of Israel was righteous, that he always did the right things, that the God of Israel was faithful, reliable, trustworthy, that the God of Israel was able to save, rescue, and deliver, and help in all kinds of circumstances, that the God of Israel loved his people and showed it in many ways by giving things to them and caring for them, that God was true. He could be counted on to always speak the truth. He would never lie or deceive in any way. David honored God by boldly and publicly telling everyone who God is. How could the Lord not take notice of David's courageous proclamations and help a man like that? David was in serious trouble. He was in danger from enemies without, and he was weakened by sins from within. But he was a man who was committed to God, to the proclamation of God, to do the will of God, and the Word of God. David continues praying to his God to rescue him by appealing to God's nature, specifically his attributes of mercy, love, and truthfulness. "Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me." These are God's attributes that David is appealing to. "Because you are like this, Lord, do something. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me." So David continues praying to God to rescue him, appealing to God's nature, his attributes of mercy, love, and truthfulness. He prays that the Lord would defeat and shame his enemies. "May all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, 'Aha, aha,' be appalled at their own shame." He prays that the friends and allies of God who are also his friends and allies, would be victorious and happy. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, "The Lord is great." David concludes with some final appeals for help based on his pathetic condition and God's nature to show pity to the pathetic. "But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me." He appeals for God to help him because God is committed to help his people. "You are my help and my deliverer." He appeals for God to help him because of his relationship to God, which obligates God to act for those who are his people. "You are my God. Do not delay." So, this poem for help in a dangerous situation applies to its author, King David, who's praying in various ways for the Lord to help him. But it also applies on another level to the son of David, who is far greater than David, and that, of course, is Messiah Yeshua. While David prayed for help for himself, the Son of God was in no need of help for himself, but through the incarnation, he made great help available for all of us. So I want to go back and read one part of this poem that especially points to the Son of David coming to help us. "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, 'Here I am, I have come. It's written about me in the scroll of the book. I desire to do your will, my God. Your Torah, your divinely inspired teaching, your law is within my heart.'" This applies to Messiah. This hints about Messiah. This looks forward to Messiah. If it was written in the Torah that in every generation a man like David would be there on the scene who knew the true God and who wanted to do God's will and had the Torah in his heart, then how much more is it written in that same Torah about the coming of the one who is greater than David? David's son, but also David's Lord. The son of David and the son of God. The long-awaited seed of the woman, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. A son who is born to us, but also El Gibor, the mighty God. If it was written in the scroll of the book about David, it's even more written in the same scroll about Messiah, the son of David. To rescue humanity from our deadly enemies and our serious dangers, God needed someone greater than David. He needed a perfect human being with ears that were completely, fully open. "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened." Through the incarnation, Yeshua became that perfect man whose ears were fully open. There was perfect communication between God the Father and Messiah the Son. Like a man whose ear was open so that he could hear what God wanted, Yeshua was uniquely able to hear God speaking to him. He declared, "I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. The things which I heard from God, these I speak to the world." The Messiah heard God perfectly, and the Son always obeyed what he heard his Father saying and perfectly communicated what he heard his Father say to the rest of us. To save fallen human beings, God needed someone greater than any of the faithful remnant who had come before. He needed a perfect human being who wanted to do the will of God, the entire will of God, from his heart. And through the incarnation, Yeshua became that man. If David could say that he was eager to do the will of God, "Here I am, I have come, it is written about me, I desire to do your will, my God," how much more could the Son of David talk about his greater coming through the incarnation to do the will of God? And he did. "I have come down from heaven," he declared, "not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Like a slave whose ear was pierced, indicating a willingness to serve his master, Yeshua willingly and fully served God, always, completely. "Not my will, but your will be done," was his lifelong prayer. Even if God's will required rejection, humiliation, suffering, and death. To redeem a fallen world, God needed a human being greater than David, and whose heart was God's Torah. And through the incarnation, Yeshua became that man. He understood the Word of God at the very core of who he was. He accurately and beautifully taught the Word of God. Unlike any before or after him, he perfectly lived the Word of God. And then he suffered and died and rose to fulfill the Word of God. He understood the Torah better than anyone, including Israel's greatest prophets or rabbis. "Here I am, I have come. Your Torah, your divinely inspired teaching, is within my heart." He was able to correct those Jewish leaders who had come to misunderstand the Word of God. When Messiah came into the world, he understood, like David had understood, that God wanted more than mere religious rituals and ceremonies. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. The Lord wanted ears that were open, ears that could hear God, hearts that knew God. Confronting some Jewish leaders and quoting the word of Isaiah, he proclaimed to some of these leaders that their religion was as shallow and hypocritical as it was in the days of Isaiah. "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire." So this divinely inspired poem, Psalm 40, applies to its author, King David. He was in very serious trouble, a life-threatening situation. But he was a godly man, and God saved him. Psalm 40 also applies to the coming of the Son of David, who is much greater than David. And this divinely inspired poem also applies to each one of us today. Like David, we are in a very dangerous, life-threatening situation. The enemies we face are real. We live in a world ruled by Satan and the demons who want to destroy us. We are surrounded by human beings who are in rebellion against God and will be used to harm us. We are weakened by the sin nature within us. Death wants to maintain control of us. Hell is happy to receive us. We are in a very dangerous, life-threatening situation right now. Like David, if we're going to be victorious and happy, we need to know the one true and living God and trust in the Lord, not false religions and ideologies or those who arrogantly reject God and His Word. We need a real relationship with God, like David had. And for us, that only happens today when we recognize that Yeshua is the Son of David and the Son of God, fully man and fully God. And once we recognize that Yeshua is the Messiah who died on the cross and rose from the dead and is alive now, and we make a commitment to the three-in-one God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, a commitment of loyalty and faithfulness, then we have a real relationship with God. We maintain that relationship with God by making sure our ears are open so that we can hear God and respond. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. We need our ears open. How do we get our ears open? By becoming familiar with the Word of God, by reading the Word of God, by studying the Word of God, by hearing it taught by God-ordained teachers. Our ears are open by talking to God ourselves and then listening. Listening to Him speak to us in His still, small voice, speaking to our minds, speaking to our hearts. And then by doing what we hear God saying, that's how we get our ears open and maintain our relationship with God. We maintain our relationship with God by committing ourselves to do the will of God. Here I am. I have come. I desire to do Your will, my God. How can we do the will of God? By understanding that what God wants is always right. By understanding that what God wants is better than what we want for ourselves, even though it might not seem that way. We do the will of God by having the same commitment to do the will of God that David had. I have come to do Your will, O God. The kind of commitment that Yeshua had to do the will of God by praying the same prayer. Not my will, not what I want, but Your will, what You want be done in my life, in every situation I encounter, in every choice that I make. We maintain our relationship with God by making sure the Word of God is in our hearts. Your Torah, Your divinely inspired teaching, is within my heart. By reading it, studying it, meditating on it, making a commitment to guide our life by the Word of God, make our choices based on the Word of God. I like Psalm 40. A prayer for help from a great man in a life-threatening situation. And I like that God answered David's prayer and rescued him. And I like Psalm 40 because the coming of the Son of David is hinted at in this psalm. And because of His incarnation and His perfect life and atoning death and very real resurrection, He is able to rescue us from our greatest dangers, which are quite real. And I like Psalm 40 because it teaches us what we need to do to have a relationship with God and maintain a relationship with God so that He can bless us with victory and happiness in this life, followed by eternal life in the world to come. If you do celebrate Christmas, and let me say that I believe it's perfectly okay to celebrate Christmas, does not mean you're becoming a pagan. It is my prayer that these thoughts help you focus more on the incarnation, which of course is the heart of what Christmas is all about. It's also my prayer for all of us that Emmanuel, who became flesh and forever joined himself to humanity, behold, I come, becomes more and more incarnate in all of our lives and the lives of those whom we love. Amen. Please stand.